production.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing this week, man?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good myself. Enjoying a nice, lovely Sunday here in the Magic City in Birmingham. Folks, we're just going to get right to it, of course, doing our college football previews. And this week, big seismic shifts in the world of college football. I guess to no melodramatic at all to say that the Pac-12 is pretty much dead. After Colorado left last week, you know, back to the Big 12, it was like, okay, whatever. That's nine teams. They might could add San Diego State to get back to 10. Still a good West Coast conference, even though they were without their, you know, two big names in USC and UCLA. Rumors starting to merge in that the Big 10 was looking at Oregon, Washington, Cal, and Stanford. And then they kind of went back down and said the Big 10, some presidents weren't really excited or interested in adding those schools. And then it popped right back up again the next morning that they were talking about Oregon and Washington. And lo and behold, right, they invited and added Oregon and Washington to the Big 10. So now the Big 10 has a Western wing. And following that news, there was news that Board of Regents in Arizona were talking, discussing moves going to the Big 12, and Arizona made the first leap, and sure enough, Arizona State and then Utah were behind. So now, following Colorado, the four corner schools, as they call them, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah are in the Big 12, making that a 16-team conference next year after Oklahoma and Texas leave. Wow, just a whirlwind. I think we talked about it this week to ourselves, and just how quick everything was the most amazing part of it. And you could, you know, once USC and UCLA left last year, you could kind of see it coming a little bit, but maybe not to this extent.
You know, maybe 5-10 years down the road completely. And they just, I guess, just didn't even want to see the ship go down with the ship or start sinking with the ship. And, you know, hey, you got to get it while you can, while you have value, and, you know, don't want to be stuck before it's too late. So,
I mean, yeah, and that's well, I was gonna say, you pretty much nailed what had what kind of the Oregon and Washington representatives in Arizona's and all those schools said, is like they pretty much had to make the move now, or, you know, be left in the dark as far as the TV money.
Exactly, because what the Pac-12 sounds like they didn't plan at all until the very last second. And that Apple deal just sounded terrible because, first of all, I mean, the convenience, I mean, you want to be able to be on actual live TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody has the Apple TV app. Not everybody uses that. So, I mean, that's another subscription. On top of that, I mean, your guaranteed money is based upon your subscribers. So you can't even guarantee how much money everybody's going to be making. So it's just a seemed like terrible planning, and more or less I take it as the Pac-12 basically thought that they were as important as the Big 10 just because they had that Rose Bowl mentality. Mm-hmm. Clearly no self-awareness at all out of the Pac-12 at all.
No, yeah, for sure. And it's a good segue into just talking about the downfall of the Pac-12, 10-9-4 now. It started, you know, it's a weird thing because about 11 years ago, they actually signed the richest television deal in college sports history. With the advent of the Pac-12 network, they were going to own it. The conference zone, you know, was kind of a risky move at the time, but it was also kind of a bold move. You know, and something that really, if it had worked out right, could have could have been huge. Could have put a lot of money in those schools' pockets. And again, this is real quick too, before we get into that, at some point this season, we're going to hear some Fox or ESPN talking head talk about the ruination of college football or whatever is thanks to NIL and transfer portals. And just know that it's absolute horse shit. And do not even just whatever your feelings on that are. That's not the reason that if college football isn't the same as you remember it, it's not that. The kids having autonomy and the power to make their choices and make money that, you know, they rake in billions of dollars across this sport. They should get a share of it. That's not the reason that these conferences are blown up. It's because greedy television executives and university presidents want big bonus checks, and they want to be had the ones that have their name on it to say, we brought the school this much money.
We're the people that brought it in, and we're the people exactly.
Yeah, it's ESPN and Fox, you know. Yeah. Right.
And I think I made a post earlier, when everything was kind of going on, the same people that are complaining about NIL and you know, the transfer portal and it's the reckoning of you will not hear a peep out of them when it comes to conferences literally going from California to a Midwest conference. There's no issues with that at all. Clearly, it's a money grab, just like everything's a money grab these days. But I mean, twice as much money involved, way more than any player could ever dream of getting. But yeah, that's the only complaint. It's so funny. And you know, you won't hear any coaches talking about going to Congress about stopping the teams moving from the far Pacific Northwest to the Midwest Conference.
A conference that ranges from L.A. and Eugene and Seattle to Piscataway, New Jersey, and College Park, Maryland. You know, it's ridiculous. The whole country. and you definitely won't hear them speak up for the Olympic sports and the non-revenue sports. Oh. You know, and there's a flurry of softball players, Pac-12 softball players, that got on like Twitter and social media yesterday and made, you know, their voices heard. And they're absolutely right. This is a football pure thing. And they had stepped out and said, you know, like, hey, maybe this is just the football only move. Let's keep these regional conferences intact for these other travel games, you know.
Yeah.
But you're going to have field hockey teams traveling from, you know, L.A. to Bloomington, Indiana, say, on a random Wednesday. Like, that's ridiculous.
How are they, first of all, most of these, I guess, out of the big three, and honestly, the big two, because I was looking at revenues, and a lot of baseball programs don't even make money for the schools.
Nope.
It's literally two sports that are making money for the schools. So I can only imagine what the travel accommodations is going to be for, you know, a track team, swimming team, et cetera. When they're going, L.A. to New Jersey, or flying out, you know, Nebraska to Eugene, Oregon. Like, what are their accommodations and how are they getting there? Because they're already at negative money, no fault of their own. I mean, we know how the Olympic sports and other sports go, but I mean, you know, then definitely they are not in the consideration or concern when it came to this money or moves that these conferences are making.
Yeah, absolutely not. Any statement from any university president or anything that says this is about the best interests of the student athletes is absolute horseshit.
Yeah.
It is about their pocketbooks. About, you know, Fox famously, they have multiple USC alums in on their board and their executives that, you know, wanted USC in the Big Ten. They wanted USC in more big time television games. And,
For college football. And I mean, it's exciting for us fans, but yeah, outside of football and basketball, like it's a shit show for everybody else and a headache.
And it's, you know, like I said, we're going to get some more big time regular season matchups, which is cool to an extent. You know, even then though, it kind of takes away, if we see them during the regular season now, then they're not going to be as special during the playoffs if two teams meet, you know, like. USC and Ohio State say they meet in the regular season and they turn around and meet again in the playoffs. It's like, oh, well, we saw this one earlier this year. Like, okay, cool. And after, you know, we've seen this testimony before from, you know, like West Virginia fans that went to the Big 12 and they're like, at first it was kind of cool. But then after a few years, when, you know, a struggling Texas team comes in and they're, you know, 3-5 or whatever, then it's not that exciting for them to come to Morgantown. Or you take away the beautiful thing about college football and college sports is the regional aspect, where, you know, you could make a road trip to this game. And even if it didn't mean a lot, you know, like, it's still cool that Tuscaloosa is only 80 miles from Starkville, you know, like.
You could literally go there and all you worry about is getting your game tickets, because you're going to go home afterwards.
Mm-hmm. And now, like, yeah, especially like obviously those West Coast teams are going to play each other in the Big Ten, but then they're still going to have what, 5-6 other games a year, or at least a couple once you do the home and road splits, where they're out in, you know, Minnesota and Ohio.
Yeah, and you know, USC fans don't even fill the Coliseum up when they're not at the top notch. Imagine how many fans are going to go to Minnesota.
Yeah, when Purdue comes to the Coliseum, I don't think USC's packing it out. You know, we saw the abysmal attendance at the Rose Bowl the past few years for UCLA games. For, you know, teams they've been playing for a century now. You think that, Wisconsin or Iowa?
Yeah, no interest.
Mm-mm. But yeah, going back to the Pac-12, it's kind of. There was a great article, a couple, but really one really good on the, I believe, the Athletic this week, about just that detailed all of the missteps that the Pac-12 has taken since that record TV deal about 11, 12 years ago. They never did with that Pac-12 network. They never found a distribution partner, so they never got like a contract with DirecTV or anyone to show the game. So if like you saw the game, that might be a little interesting. Like, oh, this UCLA Arizona game, it might be like a number 21 versus number 17 matchup. But you're like, man, late at night, that'd be a fun game to watch. Oh, it can't. It's on the Pac-12 network,
right? Because how many providers actually have the Pac-12 network? I think it was like DirecTV and. Maybe.
They didn't. I don't know if DirecTV ever got it, or maybe here at the end they did.
Last year, having YouTube TV, I just didn't even think about it so much because, of course, SEC guys. So of course, got the SEC if I needed to, the Big Ten Network. So I'm thinking, well, I didn't necessarily think. And then there was a couple USC late games. Interestingly, with that Washington State game, it was a late one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't watch this anywhere.
it's a shame. So they really kind of, like I said, they wanted to own the network completely instead of doing something like the SEC network, which had to deal with ESPN. They shared ownership or whatever, but they also never got carriage rights. They never got distribution deals with DirecTV, Comcast, Spectrum. Name your major provider. And so that was really one big misstep. They had multiple chances to expand, when teams were adding little bits here and there, when this first started years ago. Remember, around that same time, there was that huge rumor that it was going to be Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, and like one other team, Colorado maybe, like we're going to move and form this big Pac-16.
Yeah.
Conference, and it was huge, and then it kind of fell through, and then Colorado ended up going out there. They picked up Utah, A&M, and Missouri left for the SEC. Nebraska left for the Big Ten because they were tired of dealing with Texas and Oklahoma's power in the conference. But so that's a misstep. And then along the way, though, the Pac-12 kind of stood pat when the SEC was going to 14 teams and the Big Ten was going and adding Maryland and Rutgers too. They had chances. They could have added a name like San Diego State, which is right in their footprint and a growing school. And I think I saw something interesting the other day. San Diego State, if you combine football and basketball winning percentage, is the top school over the past decade.
Right.
They just built a new football stadium. They just made the national championship game in the NCAA tournament. So that's an attractive school. You have someone like BYU. Go ahead.
Also keeps you in that Southern California footprint. Mm-hmm. Because there's been rumblings for a long time. USC was out the door. I mean, of course, it came official last year, but. I mean, that was literally no secret that they were been pissed off at the Pac-12 for 10 years, Right? They're like, hey, we're carrying this conference and there's nothing, we're not seeing anything from it. And the Pac-12 was kind of like, well.
Yeah, drug their feet on getting a new media deal. Didn't, we'll get to that. But yeah, Oh, I guess we'll talk about now. But yeah, they jogged their feet on media deal, and they finally got this, like you said, this lackluster Apple one. It's based on subscriber counts and all this. And like Apple's, it's a decent app. We have it, and I watch baseball games on there time to time. There's no problems with it, but it wouldn't want to be the only way I'd want to watch games.
Yeah, exactly. Like everybody else is expanding, getting better, and you're literally getting worse. Like, that's not a good look.
Yeah, just so many missteps from former Commissioner Larry Scott. And we mentioned expansion, you know, go back to that real quick. A team like BYU, who's now in the Big 12, you know, they're not the sexiest name out there, but they have a huge following because of the Mormon Church, you know. That brings you so many subscriber numbers. It brings you so many eyeballs and ticket sales. Mm-hmm. A team like Boise State, they turn their nose up at because they're not a great academic institution. Well, it doesn't matter. Like these conferences, they're like, oh, well, you know, the Pac-12, we're premier athletic institutions. It's like, but that doesn't have anything to do with on the field. Like, this is an athletic decision. Mm-hmm. And Boise State is a marketable brand in college football. People tune in to see games on the blue field. Yeah. It's a known name. Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. They have that Big Ten attitude without the Big Ten's intelligence and marketing. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it was failed leadership through and through and self-inflicted wounds. You know, these, I think actually going back to that DirecTV thing, they had a chance to partner up with DirecTV and the university presidents voted it down. Like, why? It's just dumb decisions. And, you know, one thing too, why university presidents, I know that it's kind of in their job description, but they really don't need to be the final say in these decisions. Like, athletic directors are there for a reason. They know what's best for the athletic program, and the university presidents are just seeing dollar signs, you know, and that's a whole other conversation we can get into, but it's why you don't run universities as corporations, which is what's happening now. But yeah, so just so many self-inflicted wounds for the Pac-12. They could have expanded. They could have gotten, you know, new TV deals. They could have found partners. They could have done what the Big 12 did and just re-upped with their current deal with ESPN and Fox and whoever, instead of waiting until the last minute like they've done now under the new commissioner. And, you know, he got dealt a bad hand, but he also drug his feet and he waited hoping for this last minute kind of like prayer Hail Mary, if you will.
You knew part of this. I mean, obviously you're smart enough to become a athletic, you know, a commissioner, et cetera. So you have some intelligence, like you knew what you're coming into and, you know, mm-hmm. you're at the last minute. You have to have some plan coming into that situation. Like, you have to know, hey, we're going to at least try this, this, and this to try to expand or see what we can do to make ourselves look good. Because, I mean, obviously, he came in USC and UCLA. They're done. I mean, but they did the exact opposite of what the Big 12 did. I mean, the Big 12 literally lost their moneymakers, and yet the Big 12 was like, we're not going to just sit around. You know, they made smaller moves. It wasn't the sexiest of moves, but it was moves that made sense. You know, they're bringing in BYU, you know, bringing back Colorado for what that's worth. You know, they raided
Cincinnati, UCF.
Raided the arguably one of the best non-Power 5 conferences that was out there, and brought in some of their best talent, and, you know, wanted to stay alive. They were, you know, saw the writing on the wall and like, hey, we don't want to end. And did what they can. And now they've even, you know, Arizona State, Utah. I mean, not the sexiest of names, but Utah has had a heck of a run on the program with Kyle Whittingham as the coach. Mm-hmm. Decent basketball program. We know how good Arizona is at basketball traditionally. I mean, just having the opportunity, and you look from basketball standpoint, Kansas and Arizona every year, that's appealing in itself.
Yeah, the Big 12 basketball is a big winner in all this, adding just a name like Arizona and, like you said, a solid program in Utah. We talked about winners there, but yeah, the losers now, of course, the Pac-4 left, Cal, Stanford, Washington State, and Oregon State. Cal and Stanford are going to be fine. Cal and Stanford are academic institutions, premier, you know. Stanford, I think, has one of the largest endowments of any like program that's in major sports and the FBS. They could go independent and be fine.
And then they have the national fan. I mean, not that I guess the most vocal fans, but they're clearly all over the country just because the type of academics.
Yeah. You know, Cal's fallen off, and you know, they had that run in the 2000s where they were, you know, battling USC for Pac 10 titles back then. But they'll be fine. And you do wonder what that means for them since they're so strictly academic first. You know, do they drop down to FCS? Do they drop football together? Do they not that care that much? Do they go independent? You feel really bad for Wazoo and Oregon State because they are the ones really left out in the cold here. They either have to go, you know, you wonder, are there those four schools maybe going to merge with the Mountain West and form? Do they keep the Pac-12 name, Pac-16, whatever they want to call it? And just, kind of fold in, merge with the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Do Cal and Stanford try to go independent or, you know, like we said, drop it altogether? And then Oregon State, Washington State are left to go to the Mountain West and lose, you know, tens of millions of dollars in revenue every year because of the football or the TV deal.
Right.
Is this the official end of the Pac-12? Like, is this last year that we'll actually see that brand on the field in football?
I mean, we're last of days for sure. I mean, basically we're on this last leg already, but man, they move way quicker than everybody anticipated once. And then you look at it from the other coast. I mean, the ACC is basically going to end up like the Pac-12. And really the only thing holding them together is they have the monster out clause for teams to leave before that 2034 thing runs out.
Well, yeah, and that's a good – let's get to that. You know, Florida State this week has been angling that, you know, they've been saying what kind of USC did for a while. They're mad. They feel that they deserve more money from the ACC. They carry some weight in terms of their name. You know, they want they want unequal revenue sharing, which is where, you know, they'll get, you know, more incentive-based or, you know, more, hey, our games have higher ratings, so we should get more of the TV deal money, which is understandable in a way. And they basically have all but said that, like, somebody please come take us from this conference. Like, we will try to raise – they're trying to raise money privately to pay the out package. Like you said, the grant of rights deal doesn't end until 2036 in the ACC, so –
That's the only thing keeping our conference together.
Yeah, lucky. And
they all signed and agreed to that at one point.
and the one thing that they do have going for them, at least at the ACC, is that they have the two big brand names and football wise in Florida State and Clemson. In Miami is the name still, you know, even on field it's been. And then of course they have the Tobacco Road basketball stuff going for them. But so you got to wonder where the ACC goes from here because they have to be aggressive, but. What route do they have? You know, it's not like, are they going to somehow convince, and they're not going to convince an SEC school to leave, you know,
That's not going to happen.
Barring some miracle TV deal, you know,
that doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So do they maybe try to go like the Pac or the Big 12 route and kind of the old school, what it used to mean realignment is where you go pick these smaller programs that have made a name for themselves. You know, do they go knocking on like maybe Appalachian State or Coastal Carolina, these programs that have come up over the past decade and are solid, solid programs, and try to get them some more up and coming names, or a James Madison, you know, a FCS powerhouse forever that's made the leap now.
But then still, what does that do to help you make money though? That's the big thing.
Exactly. Are they big enough names? You know, they have, you know, James Madison, I think, might have the numbers in terms of alumni, it's a little bit bigger school, but Coastal Carolina and App State are small schools.
Very small.
You know, their enrollments are small, and they're good brand names for football, but is it enough to, you know, some TV network's going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll add an extra $10 million per school every year.
Yeah, we're happy to have, App State. I mean, it's cool for the regional, but, how many people live out? I mean, I'm sure there's some people everywhere. But, you look in the Midwest, how many Appalachian State graduates live in Illinois that are going to, exactly. where is there a market there? Or, anywhere like that. Yeah,
we mentioned something like the Pac-12 kind of slipping and missing a chance? Did the ACC miss a chance to add a school like UCF, who does have a huge alumni base because they are a big school?
Huge school.
And obviously,
how big UCF at one point, I didn't even realize how big UCF really was. And that,
no, I think they have like almost like a 60,000 undergraduate enrollment. So imagine how many graduates are out there. And you know, and they made a name for themselves on the field too, and they kind of missed their shot. Of course, there's always a possibility they could come and turn right around and be like, hey, actually, we've got this better deal for you if you come back. And, you know, here, like, you get to play, you know, the UCF dream. You get to play Miami and Florida State every year, you know, and really try to put your name on the map there in terms of the state. You know, we've seen that before. TCU went from Conference USA, or from, like, what, the WAC to Conference USA, to the Mountain West. And then, like, a year, after a year in the Mountain West, they the Big 12 sent them an invite, and they're like, okay, let's go, you know. Or they had that flirtation with the Big East, you know, that weird.
Yeah, that was weird. That would have super weird, but
yeah. Speaking of, you know, speaking of conferences that went by the wayside that maybe weren't the greatest in the world, but had a great brand that you could watch, man. Those, you know, even after Miami and Virginia Tech left for the ACC, they still had, remember the 2000s, like that run from like 2005 to 2010 or so, when West Virginia, Louisville, the Rutgers had their moment in the sun. You know, the Pat White, Steve Slayton, West Virginia teams. Those like,
that was good.
I can't remember. Like Jeff Brom, maybe was a. I don't know. He's a little earlier, but those quarterbacks in Louisville. You know, like those were great football games. Yeah, good Thursday night games. And then and now, you know, the ACC picked apart, you know, the Big East, and now it's gone from, you know, football. And then, although they do have three national basketball national championships in the past, like what, 8 years or something like that. It just, it sucks to see from a fan standpoint, because of what college football is, such a regional thing. It's fun to see those random upsets, you know, when you don't want it to happen to your team, but when you're tuning into a random, like Vanderbilt, oh wait, Vanderbilt has a 10-point lead on Florida and 5 minutes left, like what's going on here?
You're gonna turn like, to it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or like years ago, I think when we were in school,
always some upsets on JP.
Yeah, those JP or like a Thursday night ACC game, like, you know, number four Florida State's going to lose to who? Like, you know,
they rush the field at Wake Forest because they got Florida State on the ropes. With five
minutes. Exactly. Yeah, you tune into the game and you see all the students like right there on the edge. You're like, oh, wait a minute, we need to watch the last few minutes of this. That's what is the real unfortunate thing of it. And that's what we lose in the terms of, you know, if that's what we sacrifice to have more, you know, USC versus Ohio State regular season matchups. Or,
I mean, it's cool for a little bit, but yeah, you know, that, you know, that, yeah, if you have it twice a year, it loses its luster. And then, I mean, technically, you could almost, if things were crazy enough, I mean, you could almost have that, what, three times a year, depending on how the playoff work out. I mean, you might have a regular season matchup. You might see each other again in the Big Ten championship game, and then both you guys are in the playoffs as, you know, a three and a, you know, nine seed, and you're playing each other again. So, you know, some of that might lose quite a bit of luster. You're very cool at first, but, yeah, definitely.
Or even just, yeah, seeing it a few years in a row, you're like, okay, like we mentioned, the first time that one of those, you know, it's cool now seeing Alabama, Texas, because we haven't played since the 2009, you know, national title game, but we play each other a few years in a row, the next time that, you know, one of those teams comes in and they're like 3-3 versus, you know, 2-4, that, okay, that's not that special. You know, those are the games when, and the seasons when those regional rivalries really make things more exciting. Yeah. When you have, when you're down a little bit, but, you know, you still, you kind of have this hatred or this dislike of a team because you play them every damn year. They're annoying to you. You don't like their fans because you see them all the time. You know, they're 80 miles down the road from you. They're, you know, you can drive to their campus. It's a 2-hour drive to their campus. Yeah, like. that's what we're losing here. And it makes you wonder, too, where the future of this is going. So and you hear, too, like some schools, you know, Washington said, like, well, you know, we had to survive. And it's like, did you? Like, you know, we didn't have a choice. It's like, well, I guess not, but you did. Because at some point, surely, at least all the Power Five conferences could have got together, or hell, all the FBS conferences could have gotten together. All their commissioners and their school presidents or athletic directors could have gotten together and be like, hey, let's work something out here to keep this great thing we have and make everybody the most money we can. And, you know, I've said for a while now that it probably should have been, instead of all this realignment, what it should have been is maybe instead of forming a big super league, which it seems like we're on the course where we're going to get basically an AFC and an NFC of college football and like
exactly.
32 team. Yeah, it's boring. We could have slimmed down FBS, you know, like I hate to say it because, you know, when we were in college, Maction, you know, was a great thing. And we had those, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger and Omar Jacobs and all those great Mac quarterbacks came out of nowhere. But that's a conference that financially just can't compete with the Big Ten or any other conferences. Like, do they really need to be FBS? Can they go down to FCS? Can we create even another league where we have maybe like 80 or so teams as your top team? And then you have something that's a combination of like the smaller, the mid majors, if you will, of FBS and the top tier of FCS. And they form like Division II, mm-hmm. you know, it's just when they say like, this is inevitability, it's bullshit too. It wasn't, they could have done something at some point.
Some point everybody could have came to terms, but everybody thought that they were, some people thought that they were way more important than they were. Mm-hmm. That day would never come. The people weren't going to leave because, the Pac-12 is a major brand. At some point, but you have to evolve and look around and realize, hey, we got to change something or we're going to end up how they are right now. And you would think that should have been enough smart people to figure that out. But, yeah, without losing your regional identity, without losing everything. But, you know, that's one thing that I do like that the SEC's done. Yes, they've expanded. But you notice the markets they've expanded to aren't crazily outside of the footprint. You know, mm-hmm. OU a little bit. Missouri. You're like, but it's not super outlandish.
They still border Arkansas. Yeah, like
right. Yeah,
Texas borders not, Louisiana. Yeah,
exactly. It's not outlandish, and that's the other thing. The SEC is just kind of. I like how the SEC is not really jumping because they know, hey, we're still a big brand and, you know, we're looking at what's best long term. And I think that they have a better mindset as far as let's look long term rather than the instant money, which I even think the Big Ten is looking at instant money. They've done a good job of marketing and staying as the number two power conference. But, you know, even them looking, you know, you wonder, like, how is this really going to work? With cross-country flight, as we were talking about for the Olympic sports, you know, their Wednesday night, even a baseball game in Piscataway, New Jersey. I mean, these guys aren't clearly not getting the same love from my teachers and everything else. So why weren't you in class? Well, I was in New Jersey, you know, the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey, you know, or the track team or swim team. They're not going to get the love and the tutors and everything that, you know, the football team's getting there. So, but that's the one thing I do like about the SEC. I think they're kind of, in some sense, keeping it as regional as possible without, you know, becoming, without losing any value, thinking more long term than the other spots are at the moment.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they've been less, like you said, less aggressive. And like last, you know, with Texas and Oklahoma basically came to the SEC. And at that point, as much as like, I don't like it, like you can't turn that down from if you're, you know, making decisions based on money. Yeah. Two huge programs.
Two programs that are good at multiple sports. I mean, it's not a one shot thing.
Exactly. You know, we've talked about the Oklahoma softball program, like adding that to SEC softball is gigantic.
Crazy. Yeah. Now, Texas has a decent basketball program, the football, baseball, but, you know, OU has had decent basketball at times, you know, the football, the softball, you know, just everything that just aligns well with what, you know, the SEC is looking for. So,
But yeah, so, you know, where does this go? Like we said, the SEC is kind of stand pat, but if somehow FSU, say Clemson or somebody get the money to break away and they come to the SEC, well, sure, the SEC will probably add them because they're in their footprint. If, you know, FSU's been offered, they actually tried multiple times in like the 50s, 60s, 70s to get into the SEC, and then
Florida blocked them at some point.
Yeah, and SEC went. They were actually the first choice over South Carolina in the '92 expansion, but Florida State actually turned it down then.
Because Bobby was like, "Well, I got an easier route."
Yeah, it worked out for them in the end. You know, they got a couple national titles, 14 straight top four finishes. But you also wondered, could they have still won a title in the SEC back then? Probably, yeah. Like, they had so much talent. Maybe they would have gotten more because of that. You know, we'd probably gotten more classics between, you know, that really would have made those Florida State games back then.
I mean, they were already electric. And can you imagine that? That is your key to go to the championship game?
Yeah, right.
That last regular, the last Saturday during the Thanksgiving weekend to go to Atlanta? Wow.
You know, and so, yeah, we mentioned like Miami, you know, so the SEC is at 16 now. The Big Ten will be at 18 with the addition of these teams.
But then the other thing you want to see, too, is, you know, if, you know, the Clemson's of the world, the Florida State's of the world, you know, find the money and able to move, then what does the rest of the country do with the other ACC teams? You know, because you got to look at it. After, you know, the football schools, there's not a lot of lucrative programs. And we know Duke in the basketball, but we know that basketball only carries so much money. They have a, you know, small arena, national appeal, but they're not going to, you know, and that seems more of a Big Ten type. I mean, the SEC, I don't think it's going to be all over that expansion. And really, I mean, I would think Carolina would have the most appeal for the SEC outside of the football school just because of the basketball. They're decent at football, the national brand, Jordan, everything that goes along with that more than anybody else once you look outside football. But, I mean, you know, you have the Wakes, the NC States of the world. Like, where are they going, you know?
Well, yeah, and that kind of leads into my next thought here as we start to kind of wrap up this discussion, but – so say we get all these, you know, big conferences, they kind of, do they break away, form their own thing? Or, you know, is there another route where do they start dropping schools? You know, like, you know, mentioned Rutgers in the Big Ten, like they just were added, you know, a few years ago, but what do they add? Have they really added anything to the conference? Really? You know, they're cashing checks, man.
Checks are not adding a lot. You got the New York, I guess, TV market, but honestly,
does New York care about college football? The people that care about college football there are like SEC and you know, Big 12 or, you know, big Michigan and Ohio State alums that moved to New York, and they're going to watch Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Florida games, whatever, you know, you know,
your average New York give a damn about, you know, of Clemson, even Clemson, like Florida State. You know, the average New Yorker is like, not tuning into that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. At what point do we really start to see maybe like a, we mentioned it, almost like an AFC, NFC of college football?
Yeah, You would have thought maybe they would at some point have gone to more of instead of conferences, just a regional thing. The CFB West, and it's, you know.
Yeah, we wonder if that's where it's going to happen, you know, with the college football playoff and all that. Is that where it's going to end up anyway? Do we get like a 64-team division of sorts, and we just end up with, like you said, a West, a East, a South, and a Central division?
Yeah.
You know, and does this end all? Do we circle back at the end of the day and we end up with our geographic alignments anyway? Yeah. And maybe we just leave out some schools. Like I said, the SEC, is Vanderbilt adding anything to the conference beyond, being able to claim you have a great academic institution in, Nashville or whatever, but or at the end of the day, are they going to get squeezed out because, if we're doing this conference, you're not really a premier team. We'd rather,
you're not the big reason why we're getting this.
Yeah.
$100 billion contract or whatever the number might be from ESPN. You literally have really no reason why. Yeah. A lot of those original Big 10 moves. I mean, you look at like Maryland. You look at Rutgers. Like, are they really bringing anything value? A lot of the Maryland people have been pissed off that they ever left the. I mean, I understand why they left the ACC, but as far as the regional rivalries and everything, there's a lot of frustration with those not even being a thing anymore.
Yeah, they haven't built up any rivalries in the Big Ten, and then you don't see Maryland Duke games anymore. That used to be one of the hottest rivalries in college basketball.
Yeah,
and Maryland hasn't done anything Big Ten foot basketball wise in the Big Ten.
Exactly, and they haven't even had a. The Big Ten, ACC always had that, November thing. And Duke and Maryland have never played each other in that. I've always wondered, why not? And where is that? What?
Yeah,
it's a huge thing.
It's ridiculous, yeah. Do we eventually, like you said, are we just going to see college football, Southeast, college football South? Are we going to get, a Northeast division, which kind of resembles the old Big East, Or do those, do we get like a 40-team top division and we, leave out like teams like Mississippi and Mississippi State? Would they get left out in that?
Because
if you're pulling from the top of the SEC and ACC,
it's a lot of teams left out. But in reality, it's a lot of teams that are left out as far as what we think about when we think of great college football anyway. So, it's not – like we're looking for Wake Forest no one's thinking about Wake Forest or even the Mississippi school regionalized. We like to watch Ole Miss, Mississippi State, but the national appeal, is it there? Not really.
No. Yeah.
Again, people might want to check out Lane Kiffin a game or two or the Egg Bowl, but yeah. So we'll see how it goes, but. Definitely heading towards that regionalized or super conferences. And I think a lot of people are going to be left with hurt feelings because they're going to realize we're not needed in any aspect of it.
But I guess that's about it as far as the realignment madness. That's all I got on my notes to talk about. We'll see what else happens down the road.
Yeah.
For this year, we'll just, we'll always watch because it's what we love. We love the sport, but... It does suck to see it change.
And can you imagine the schedule makers? They've worked hard to figure out, the Big 12 adding all the teams and then the Big 10, and they figured out how to get USC and UCLA involved and figured out those couple of years of scheduling. And it's pretty cool how the Big 10 figured it out. And now they're like, well, shit. And now we're running the drawing board because he done added changes everything, and those guys are like, geez, we're getting a little bit more money now because
it's ridiculous. Yeah. Hey, folks, this concludes part one of this week's show. We decided to cut in half, so that's not to make it a huge episode for you. Go ahead and check out part two, where we preview the Big 12 and Pac 12 conferences for this year's college football season. All right. Thank you so much for listening.